Good morning, everyone. This is from today's Merging with Shiva lesson 147 on unconditional surrender. What do we mean by internalizing worship? In external worship, we are trying to see God and communicate with God with our two eyes and our physical nerve system. We enjoy his darshan and feel his shakti. In deep meditation, the external worship is deliberately internalized, and we are trying to see God with our third eye and feel God's all-pervasiveness through our psychic nerve system. Externalizing bhakti is really much easier than internalizing it. But once the externalized bhakti is perfected, it will be easy and natural to internalize bhakti right along. When this is accomplished, the most rigorous hurdles and time-consuming practices of yoga, which often lead the person onto anava marga, will have been sidestepped. In other words, it's easier to meditate after you do puja than if you don't. Oh, this is another way of talking about our dual philosophy of monistic theism in terms of external worship, which is the theism, and internal worship, which eventually leads to the monism. And Gurudev is pointing out that if you just try and practice meditation without the devotional practices, it can build up the ego. When we start spiritual life, we all have a good-sized external ego, sense of pride, who I am. I'm better than some people. Some people are better than me. We have a strong external sense of who we are. And if we are successful in our spiritual practices, that naturally lessens. And we don't feel so competitive with others. We're able more to view other people as Shiva. And if that person is Shiva, this person is Shiva, and I am Shiva, which one is better than the other, you know? That kind of approach doesn't work anymore. When we see Shiva in everyone, then, of course, everyone is equal or the same, or one being even. But then, if we're not careful, we can develop a new ego, a new sense of pride that's called spiritual pride. I know Saiva Siddhanta better than you do. My pranayama is better than your pranayama. All of a sudden, we have a new way we can become proud. I joke with those who give our tour, previously with Deva, now with Vail. I said, you know, before you started the tour, you were such a humble person. Because after the tour, everyone comes up and says how great you are, right? So you have a new source of pride that you have to overcome. Now you, all of a sudden you're a great spiritual tour guide, a new way to be proud of yourself. I'm a better spiritual tour guide than he is. But we have to give that up too. And as Gurudev was pointing out here, the easy way to give up any sense of pride or ego that we have is through worship. Because the whole idea of worship is to acknowledge that the deity is greater than you are. So just by acknowledging that fact at the beginning of worship gives you some humility. It's a very important way to acquire humility. I include in some of my talks the story about the Bharatanatyam teacher, I've told it a few times, but it fits in here nicely, who met in the Gurupeetam. She's teaching students in the U.S., and she said they do Bharatanatyam very well, and they do the different emotions very well, except for two of them, devotion and humility. Well, they're growing up in the U.S., right? So devotion and humility aren't qualities you naturally develop in growing up in the U.S. You develop courageousness and this and that. And devotion and humility are the qualities that you develop through temple worship. That shows the importance of the temple in Hindu culture. These are very important qualities. Devotion and humility don't necessarily develop in individuals or develop in Hindus, shall we just say, without regular worship at the temple. To internalize worship after the puja is over, sit before the deity and draw into yourself all the pranas you feel around your body. Then draw those energies up the spine into the head. This is done with the mind and with the breath. It is very easy to do. It is especially easy when one is at the end of a major karmic cycle. The bhakti of uncompromising surrender, prapati, to the god during a temple puja awakens the amrita. The amrita is the sweet essence from the Saraswara chakra. It is the binding yoke to the divine. Bind yourself in the lotus posture after temple worship and simply internalize all the feeling that you had for the god during the worship. That's all there is to it. The yogi yoked within enjoys the amrita that flows from the cranium throughout his body. Devotees who want to awaken the higher chakras and sustain that awakening on the safe path will throw themselves into becoming uncompromising bhaktars. Then all the gods of all three worlds will open their hearts and shower their blessings upon them. Well, there's a nice quote in here I have from Yogaswami. Enough of reading. Make the prana to rise. Same idea, right? Make the prana to rise. So that's what Gurudev is talking about, is getting the prana in and then up. So he just says it very succinctly there. Doesn't waste any words. Sounds like some things I say. Words are expensive, so you try and use as few as possible. So I wanted to jump ahead. Just one last point here. Gurudev then talks about the Panchanicha Karmas. But on another level, one will not be able to fulfill the Panchanicha Karmas if he or she is not fulfilling the Yamas and the Niyamas. For these are the character builders. We must possess a good character to be successful in Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, begin at the beginning. Right thought produces right speech, which produces right action. Right thought is produced through the knowledge of dharma, karma, samsara, and the all-pervasiveness of God. This knowledge, correctly understood, disallows the devotee from having wrong thoughts. He simply has right thought, and of course, right speech and right action follow naturally. We must possess a good character to be successful in bhakti yoga. Well, that's one reason we developed the character building workbook, to make that easier, because even in studying the yamas, you read them, sometimes it's not obvious how to apply it, how to live it. It's a little, Gurudeva wasn't writing it with that in mind, he was writing to explain it. But what can I do to implement it in my life, and what shouldn't I do, which would be against it? Well, the character building workbook helps see that in terms of the yamas and the first couple of niyamas, as well as a number of other qualities, and we're just coming out with a second edition. first edition had 52 character qualities. We've taken two of them out because they're too similar to two other qualities, and we put 14 in. So 50 minus 2 plus 14 is 64. We now have 64 character qualities, 14 new ones. And we're going to take a look at those in the Moksha Ritau. Take a look at the 14 new character qualities. The book has also been edited by our editing team, and the quality of the language and the examples has come up quite a bit, as well as there's a story that you can link to for each one to illustrate it, either one of our stories or a story from another source if we don't have one. So it's a higher quality expanded resource that we've just developed and will be issuing soon. So we're going to print it as well as issue it as a PDF file. Have a wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.